Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Grabbed by Radulov at center ice. Deals it in. Ruda pokes it out to Victor Hedman. Cross a Stamkos down the right wing. Cross the blue line right circle. Stamkos open. Shoot, score! Stamkos! And it's 2-0 Lightning!
Look at the players going crazy for Steven. That is unbelievable.
God, that I got goosebumps still thinking about it. I watched it live. And he's right. The reaction on the bench told you everything you needed to know about that moment. That is one of those moments, Steve Versnick, that I think anybody who has a pulse and watches sports in Tampa Bay, if not the world, has to remember for forever. I mean, it was iconic. And to think that Steven Stamkos, after what has it been, 7 months?
February 25th really, was the last game he played in.
Yeah, incredible that he finally, of course, he had that core injury and then re-injured it unexpectedly. I mean, there wasn't a lot of warning that he was going to play. He was on the ice and he did get in, and he wound up, as it turns out, only skating about two minutes and 50-something seconds, I think.
2 minutes, 47 seconds, took five shifts. I believe third shift, I think.
Yeah, and it was a goal scorer's goal. It was a classic Steven Stamkos, bad angle and all, top shelf. I mean, and it was huge for them. It gave them a 2-0 lead. They jumped all over Dallas. The second period was even better. And unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to come back, but he stayed on the bench, and that meant everything to that team. This was, like I said, they've been playing hockey here for a while, and they're up 2-1 on Dallas. They may well win the Stanley Cup. If they do, or even perhaps if they don't, but if they do, this will be the signature moment of this entire, you know, this entire journey, because Stamkos has been with them the whole way. He just hasn't been on the ice. And for him to come on and do what he did, I mean, that's why we love sports, right? Because you can't script it. You can't believe it sometimes. If you were to just simply write it, no one would believe it. And I do. I have goosebumps when I think about it. It's amazing.
Yeah, those are the moments of sports that they become iconic. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. And if the Lightning go on to win the Stanley Cup, and they're halfway there now, they've got two of the four wins they need in this series. If they go on to win the Cup, I mean, you know, look, the Lightning dominated Game 2 for the most part. They dominated most of Game 3. But I think Stamkos on the bench and being part of it, even though he only played five shifts, I think there was even a bigger energy on for the team tonight to have their captain there.
No doubt.
You know, who, and if to a man, they all talk about how positive he's been, how influential he's been in this bubble, how supportive he's been. And you know it's killing him not to be on the ice. I mean, he's the captain of a great team that's in the Stanley Cup final, and he hasn't been on the ice the whole playoffs. It's got to be killing him. And he finally gets in the game in his third shift. A beautiful move of, I believe it was Radulov he got by, and then, just buried that shot. I mean, that's a Steven Stamkos shot right there.
Oh, classic wrister, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing would have been better is it would have been a one-timer on the power play. But
exactly.
But, you know.
I think this was better because nobody had to really set him up. I mean, Hedman did a great job of pushing it towards him.
Mm-hmm.
But from that angle, not many goal scorers can do that. And, I mean, it was a laser. And it just... Yeah, I think they were so happy to have him on the ice in the first place. What we don't see and what we don't know, obviously there's a lot of affection for him as their captain and their teammate, but they've seen the work that he's put in to get back on the ice. And they've known, obviously, what it means for him to be a part of their success and a part of this Stanley Cup run and to be able to play in the finals. I mean, that, you know, look, his career – could well be a Hall of Fame career. All that is missing is a Stanley Cup, really, from it. And you want to contribute, you want to You want to be there with your teammates, and he has been, as you mentioned, you know, spiritually and as a captain and doing things off the ice. But there's something about having him in uniform on the bench, on the ice, and then to do that at a critical moment in the first period to give them a 2-0 lead, and they go on to win, 5-1. It just, you're right. In Tampa Bay sports, there are a few. We remember Marty St. Louis and the goal that he had in Game mm-hmm. 6 in Edmonton, right? That's one of those iconic moments. We remember, Evan Longoria.
Yeah, well, Game 162, right? Absolutely.
Game 162.
Rondé Barber, the interception.
Rondé
in
Barber
Philly.
In Philadelphia with the interception, maybe the biggest play or the biggest play ever made in Tampa Bay history. Maybe even Derek Brooks, sealing the Super Bowl with the pick six. This is one of those things, and it will be even though he and very likely will only play those five shifts, that still will be the moment that you'll take from this Stanley Cup pursuit if they do indeed win it. And the captain, if they win it, will be hopefully able to skate around in some form with this over his head. And it's just,
well, he did skate. He did skate, and he came back to the bench in the second period. He did take a twirl or two on the ice.
He did
some of the breaks. But obviously wasn't good enough to go. So I think there'll be no problem lifting the cup if they get that far, of course.
Yeah. I certainly hope that they're two games away now. You know, the other thing that was impressive about this game was the way they came out and physically almost intimidated the Dallas Stars to the point where they even got, they were hitting everything that moved. They got a turnover that resulted in Kucherov's first goal, I think, as a result of it.
Yeah, another game where the Lightning had over 50 hits. 54 hits officially credited for the game. So,
right.
They were flying up and down the ice, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the opening shift, Yanni Gordon, Blake Coleman, and Barclay Goodrow. I mean, it was a shift where they lost the faceoff. It went back to their defensive zone. They got the puck and immediately were in the offensive zone and just, were pressuring them. It didn't result in a shot or anything, but it was just, it's kind of set the tone. And they went from there, and they get the two goals in the first 7 minutes. Kucherov gets the first goal unassisted. It's a shame Andre Palat can't get an assist on that goal. So Dallas has the puck. It goes out of the Lightning zone, and Palat finishes his check on was it Gurianov, I think it was, or maybe it was Radulov. I don't remember which one. Turns the puck over, and it goes right to Nikita Kucherov in the center of the ice, and he's got a breakaway. And he just zipped it right past Khudobin. But Andre Palat never touched the puck, but without him pressuring the defenseman, that never gets to Nikita Kucherov in a goal. So, Palat was huge. I mean, that top line tonight, Kucherov with the goal, Palat with the goal, Point with the goal. Kucherov has, an assist? So does Palat. Palat should have had an assist on that one. And then Victor Hedman gets a goal and two assists as well. I mean, we always talk about in the playoffs, your stars have to be stars. And that top line has been delivering time and time again in this playoffs. It's, Kucherov is up to 30 points this postseason, which continues to set records. Braden Point's now passed Brad Richards for second most points in a postseason because he had a goal and assist tonight. So that's, 28 points for him now in this postseason. Andre Palat's up to 10 goals. Victor Hedman's up to 10 goals. It's the third most goals by a defenseman ever in one postseason. Their stars are performing night in and night out in this playoffs, which is why the Lightning are now two games away from hoisting the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's really been a remarkable thing. And one day they'll be writing books and tons of them about the bubble and about all of that. All I know is that it has galvanized some of these teams. And I think the Lightning are one of them. They've grown even closer through this experience. I thought John Cooper, had some interesting things to say after the game, especially about Stamkos. And, he just said, you watch the kid and what he's done the last how many months, and for him to be able to do that, however Stammer was feeling at that moment, all the players expressed it on the bench. And that was the thing that got me was it was incredible watching him pull it off, but then to see the reaction. And he says, you just marvel at players, like that's really you do. And to watch him come back and do what he did on the biggest stage, you have to marvel at it. And as Cooper said, it was pretty damn cool. And that's, it really was unexpected. Again, I think there was a lot of excitement when, before the game, It got out that he was going to play, and then you see, you know, online and in social media, him warming up, and it was somewhat surreal. Again, unfortunate that he couldn't finish the game, but and who knows if we'll see him again, right? But man, for one night, for one incredible shift, and for one incredible goal, it might just be the signature of all of it. I think they're a better team than the Dallas Stars. I don't think Dallas is done. I think they still have a pulse. I think they're too good to, you know, to be swept out of here in five games. But this is a pivotal game, because now, you know, you're starting to make it a pretty tall, steep climb for Dallas to try to win a cup.
Well, yeah, and look, I mean, for about 6 minutes in the first period, Dallas absolutely took it to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay had a power play that didn't do much, and right. Dallas gets the shorthanded goal off of it.
Yeah.
Because, as Phil would like to tell you, they messed around with the puck behind their net too much, which they tend to do. And Dallas forechecks, you know, really hard. When you go behind your net, they don't sit back and wait for you to come out. They go after you.
Yeah.
And you can't fool around there. And for about 6 or 7 minutes in that first period, they were dominating Tampa Bay. After Tampa Bay had the 2-0 lead, they get the shorthanded goal, and then they continued to press. And, you know, Tampa gets through that period, and then from the second period, might have been the most dominant period they've had in this playoffs. And we've said they've had quite a few dominant periods in this playoffs. But that second period was impressive. And they get, what, 3 goals in there? And you know, they're short of forward at that point because Stamkos isn't playing. But they get the 3 goals, and they just dominated Dallas. I mean, Dallas had nothing going that period whatsoever. And the forecheck for the Lightning was relentless. And, you know, you like to see it. In the third period, you know, what? I think there was 5 shots total in the third period or something between the two teams. I mean, it was ridiculously low. You know, the Lightning are getting leads and shutting it down. And that's what you like to see. The last two games, they've done that. And you like to see that. That's what championship team, you know, and Cooper talked about in this postgame. He goes, years past, we might have been, you know, okay, we're up, you know, 4-1, 5-1, and we're looking for more goals. Not this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get an opportunity, you're going to shoot. But, you know,
it's
about controlling the puck and controlling the game. And you know, we're okay winning 2-1 or 3-1 if we have to. We don't need to try to win 8-1 every night.
That's right.
That's not the goal. You know, the goal is to, you know, win the game and move on. You know, it's purely a numbers game. They've got 14 wins down. They need two more.
It's incredible. It's been an amazing run. Here's what Steven Stamkos had to say. He just, you know, talked about how it was an amazing experience to share with my teammates, to get into the game and to have an impact, which a month ago may never have been possible. I guess he knew he was in yesterday, and he said he knew it would be tricky to get into a game this time of year, but you want to do what you can to help the team win. And he says, you know, I've watched these guys be so committed and what their end goal is. And he called it a dream come true, even to be on the bench and just watching as they all play. He said it was inspiring. And, you know, I think he inspired them. I really do.
Well, so, but think about this. I mean, so he's played, what, the 12 seasons in the NHL now?
Mm-hmm.
They got to the Cup.
He was 19 years old.
Yeah, they got to the Cup 6 years ago. And you thought this young Tampa Bay team was going to be back a lot. It's taken them 6 years to get back there. They've made several Eastern Conference finals in between. But to get back to the Cup, and he's not playing. And so for him to get in this game, just to get in this game is a dream come true. I mean, your team's in the Cup, you're the captain, and you're not playing. I mean, you know, these are the opportunities you relish and want. I mean, this is why you play the game. This is why you've been skating and playing hockey since you were 3 years old. You know, I mean, this is what you dream of. And so I'm sure it was a dream come true. And then to have, you know, a goal on your third shift, and a beautiful goal at that, you know,
that
it has
meant so much.
Absolutely.
You know?
And to see the way your teammates reacted, who, you know, you've been supporting them for the last 2 months in the bubble, and to see the way they react to your goal. I mean, that's goosebumps is how you described it. And it's exactly right.
It really was. The line of Cirelli and Killorn, Tyler Johnson was down for 9 hits. I mean, they were bringing the wood, man. They were flying around.
I know that line's getting a lot of criticism, and they're not on the score sheet very often. They're not putting up goals. But that line has – I think Alex Killorn's had a whale of a playoffs.
Yeah.
But he's not getting the amount of goals that you hope he would get, and maybe has in years past in the playoffs. But, you know, I think he's been relentless on the forecheck. I think on the penalty kill, He's been fantastic. Anthony Cirelli as well. And I know Tyler Johnson's getting a bulk of the criticism, but I don't think he's playing as bad as everyone thinks he is. I think that line is doing their
job.
He's
just not scoring.
He's not scoring. I mean, line, but they're also not getting scored upon that line. It's not like it's they're doing their job. Maybe they're not getting the goals, and the top line is taking care of that. You know, so they're eating up a lot of the other minutes. So the top line is out there when they can, when they're in a goal scoring position. So, you know, I is Tyler having the best playoffs? No, not necessarily. But I don't think, you know, you see people going, oh, just bench him or that. No, I mean, he's not playing bad. They're just not scoring a lot of goals, but they're not getting scored upon. So it's not like, you know, you're sitting there going, wow, this line's awful. I mean, it's not. You're just because he's not scoring, he's getting criticized.
Right. Well, I thought he was very good, and you know, Victor Hedman with the 3 points. You know who's been playing great is Ryan McDonough. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan McDonough has been fantastic in this tournament as well. So.
He has. He's pretty steady. Occasionally, he'll get into some bad habits in his own zone, getting a little careless with the puck at times. But when he's not doing that, he's been fantastic. And, you know, the Lightning can tend to get that way a little bit. They try to do the puck possession in their own zone, and they'll get a little cute with it instead of trying to get it out. But overall in this playoffs, yes, Ryan McDonough has been very good. I think Eric Chernak's been very good defensively. And, you know, he always just makes the simple play out of the zone, which, you know, he's not flashy. But look, the Lightning, I think after three games, if you look at it, the Lightning have definitely been the better team in this series so far. I think they're deeper than Dallas. If Dallas's top line isn't scoring, they're going to have a hard time winning the series. And so far, they're not scoring in the series.
Yeah, it's hard to win if you can't score. And again, Andrei Vasilevskiy has been terrific as well. They're two games away. Two games away. The most Tampa thing ever is that you're going to win the Stanley Cup, and no one's going to have been able to go to your games.
They could be lifting it up by Saturday. I mean, there's a back-to-back this week. They're playing Friday and Saturday.
Back-to-back Friday, Saturday night. Yeah, this thing could be over by the weekend.
Game 4 and 5. I mean, you know, I don't know if the Lightning will sweep the back-to-back, and that's part of the reason I think Dallas pulled Hudobin tonight. I don't think any of the goals he gave up you could put on him. I think they were world-class shots for the most part. But I think they looked at, okay, we've got a back-to-back coming up Thursday, Friday. Let's see if we can spark our team and just save a period of play for him so that he's more rested. You know, I would have done the same thing. You know, late in the third, we were talking about that. Do they go ahead and pull him out? And they did at the end of the second period. So I think it was the right move by Dallas. Earlier in this postseason, when they had a back-to-back, they did not play Hudobin for both games, but I think in the Stanley Cup final you're going to, particularly when you're down in the series.
You know, only the Tampa Bay Lightning during this season, during this year, where they would typically be going to training camp right about now, the start of
they would be probably in the second week of preseason games at this
preseason point. Games, yeah. Only the Tampa Bay Lightning in this year could upstage the Tampa Bay Rays winning the American League East. I mean, on the same night. Again, one of the more memorable nights in Tampa Bay history, right? Mm-hmm. The Rays clinched the AL East. They beat the Mets 8-5. Tyler Glasnow goes 6 innings, gives up just 2 runs, was dominant again. 2 home runs, I guess, by
Rosarena.
Rosarena, yeah. That kid can play. So the Bats woke up a little bit. Yep. They've needed that.
I was glad to see they won tonight because the Yankees also lost. So either one of those
would have put them in.
But I'm glad to see they got the win so they could celebrate after a win, not a loss, and have you backed in. I mean, not that they didn't back in, but you'd like to be celebrating after a victory, which, you know, got to see them do that. And they were having a lot of fun on the bench. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, everyone was in a fest. They had, silly string and
the little confetti.
They were smoking cigars out there in the dugout. They've earned it. I mean, this was a sprint. Baseball is normally a marathon. This was a 60-game sprint that they have been fantastic in. And they're, you know, still leading the American League. Right now they're the number one seed if you know, the playoffs started today.
Yeah, it is remarkable. And when you recall that they did not get off to the best of starts in the very beginning. And the injuries, you know, everybody will talk about the Yankees, and rightfully so. They had plenty of injuries. But the Rays had as much or more. You know, especially to their pitching staff. And pitching has been, you know, sort of the lifeblood of this entire franchise. And they have managed to spackle this thing together And, you know, it is only the third time they've won the American League East, which is always a screaming headline, not just here but around baseball, because they're outspent 3-1, you know, in this division for the most part by the Red Sox and by the Yankees. And
sometimes 4-1.
Sometimes 4-1. And for them to do this under the hardest of circumstances, you know, there should not be any asterisk with this. I mean, I'm certain that there won't be in hockey, and I don't think they'll be in the NFL or perhaps the NBA. But, you know, I know people will talk about baseball and you know, the seven-inning doubleheaders and the man on second base, you know, in you know, extra-inning games and things like that, which did fundamentally change sort of the way the game was played with the DH in both leagues and all of that. But this seems, you know, in some ways this is more difficult. I mean, in some ways, fewer games, less margin for error, had to be all in all the time, had to do the right things for each other so that no one, you know, got this virus once they were cleared. And a lot of sacrifices have been made by them, by their families. So I think, you know, it's been a good ball club for 2 years. They've won, you know, 90-plus games, 96 last year or so. Yeah,
and this year's pace, they're 37-20 right now. That's on pace for 105 wins.
105, right. I mean, they were having a better year.
Best record in franchise history. I mean, as far as percentage of winning percentage.
If you could keep that, yeah. And so it's not a fluke. It's not something that, you know, is a product of this shortened season. It's real. And now we'll see. You know, they're going to have to go through some things. I would still be, if I was any team, I'd be leery and a little bit nervous of that first round when you have to win a series over anyone and win 2 out of 3 games. You know, I think any team in baseball can have a hot weekend with good pitching and, you know, just win 2 out of 3, whether it's on the road or not. So, you know, that's going to be that those early rounds, you're going to see some upsets, I think. But we'll, you know, the Rays, for the most part, they have their you know, their big three starting pitchers seem to all be kind of peaking at the right time. And, you know, the bullpen seems to have settled down a little bit. They got some guys back. So, you know, not to be upstaged, but you were upstaged by the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. And normally this would be a celebration like, you know, as any celebration we've had around here for some time.
You've been upstaged tonight, but your playoffs start next week for the Rays. And, you know, I think Tuesday is when the playoffs will start. So, you know, that's when it really begins. And you're going to have the stage all to yourself. I mean, the Stanley Cup could go until Wednesday night. Wednesday
maybe
night
by the weekend
the
or early next week, yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday would be game 7 if it gets that far. So.
Right. Right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then you'll just have the Bucks once baseball is over. And who knows where that thing's headed. We had a chance to talk to Bruce Arians again, as we do almost every day during the week. And I wrote a story about Rob Gronkowski, which, as you know, has not exactly looked like the Rob Gronkowski of old. He's just looked like an old Rob Gronkowski. And look, what he's attempting to do was going to be hard because very few NFL players put their keys on the table and pick them up again. I mean, it's just really hard to do. He was retired for a year. You know, physically, he was broken down mentally. I think Tom Brady helped convince him to come back to play football, and it's only been 2 games, and he is also in a new offense. He is also trying to, you know, keep his head from spinning, but he just hasn't really produced. And, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that, you know, tight ends in this offense don't really get a ton of targets. I mean, Bruce said the other day, look, we don't throw 50 passes a game to our tight ends. We have receivers for that. Well, you know, it's hard to fathom that, you know, you traded for his rights because Tom Brady wanted you to, gave up a 4th-round pick from the Patriots and paying him $9.5 million so that he cannot get the ball, right? And basically, He's gone out. I think he's run 33 routes. He's had four targets and two catches for like 11 yards. And the first week, Bruce Arians criticized the tight ends for their lack of blocking on the edges. He thought that was a big part of their game plan. They didn't get it done. And then this week, he says, Tom has the ball. If he's open, he'll throw it to him. But he also said on Wednesday that, look, I don't think he's going to beat anybody down the field for 40 yards anymore. And that was kind of like, oh, okay. So he's not blocking and he's not running fast enough to beat people down the field. So exactly, remind me again why you traded for him. But I still think that if they get in the red zone, and they've done well in the red zone, but if there's more opportunities, I still think Gronkowski's going to be a factor. What's surprising is how much he's played. He's played 75% or more, I think, of the offensive snaps. The next tight end, O.J. Howard, is somewhere around 56, 57%. So, and then Cameron Brate has played, I think, all of like seven plays, not seven, seven catch, seven snaps, offensive snaps, in two games. He's being paid $4 million. So you had this big tight end room that all you did was crow about in the off season. And again, as I mentioned to Bruce, I said, I don't think you traded for him and paid him this money to come in here just to block, but as Bruce said, we don't force the ball to anybody. And so we'll find out going forward, but yeah, it's been, for as much as we talk about Tom Brady and him struggling a little bit for week one against New Orleans and maybe not having a great second half the other day against Carolina, there are other guys that haven't exactly lit it up, and it includes or starts with Rob Gronkowski.
Well, he's just saving himself for the playoffs.
Maybe. I mean, maybe he's going to be that Stamkos guy that comes off the bench and he'll have his moment, right? It'll be like old times again, maybe against New England in the Super Bowl. Who knows? Check it out in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com. It was kind of interesting. It went back and sort of look. I mean, really, if you look at Bruce's offenses through the years, he's not kidding. His receivers are the show in his offense. They always have been, whether it's Larry Fitzgerald or Anquan Boldin or whoever. When he was a coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the guy that probably had the most catches was Heath Miller. And Heath Miller one year, I think, had 70 catches. And, last year, if you combine O.J. Howard and Cam Brate, they had 70 catches. So that seems to be about, the standard of the tight end position, whether it's one or two guys. And so it's never really been, a target-rich position for this offense, for whatever reason. Although I find it curious because we live in a time – it's the golden ages of tight ends, right? When you talk about guys like Kittle with San Francisco and Kelsey in Kansas City and, Zach Ertz with Philadelphia, there's so many of these matchup sort of problems. Big guys who can't be covered by safeties or because they're too big and too fast for linebackers. So you would think that you'd take advantage of that however you can. And I know Dan Orlovsky, who's on ESPN, has been critical of Bruce for not just saying, hey, I've got matchup issues with the defense. I'm going to find a way to get these guys involved. But, I think Tom Brady's still trying to figure out where the ball's supposed to go. And at the end of the day, he has it. And if Rob is fast enough to get separation and wins and there's man coverage, I think you'll see him get the ball will go his way. It hasn't so far. And they got a big game, obviously, in Denver. But we're only in week three, not week 13. And for the last part of his career, really the struggle for Rob Gronkowski hasn't been production. It's about staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the longer, the more games he can play, if he's able to play 16, 15 or 16, he may have numbers. But as of yet, it just hasn't happened. And then finally, disappointing, but, this is happening all around college football, and now it's happened here. USF's game with Florida Atlantic has been canceled.
Postponed is the official word, I think.
Postponed, okay.
I don't think there's a date for them to make it up.
We're not in the cancel culture yet, but okay, postponed. And due to COVID. And really, this sort of goes back to Notre Dame and the amount of COVID cases they had up there after USF had played them.
Yeah, so Notre Dame, they played Notre Dame Saturday, obviously. Notre Dame on, I believe it was Sunday or maybe it was Monday, announced that they had multiple cases of COVID on in their team and that. So they were, you know, quarantining those people, and I believe they shut down football operations or paused them, I think is what most teams are using as the term. So USF tested everyone Monday. Everything was negative. They were going through another round of tests on Wednesday morning, and at that point decided to pause football activities pending results and that. So just trying to do their due diligence and be safe, because we know also know the incubation period of this is not instant. I mean, you know, if you come in contact and get it, you're not
14 days, 10,
it can be up to that. I mean, it can start as early as 4 days, but it can take longer.
Right.
They were also doing some contact tracing through video to see who may have come in contact with those that had or that have COVID now and that. So and then so Wednesday afternoon, then they came out that the game at FAU this Saturday is postponed. Now for FAU, it's tough because they've had a bout of COVID in their team and missed some games. So I think they have 7 games on their schedule this year right now.
Wow.
Because they have already missed some games, and now this game is being canceled. And it's out of abundance of caution. I don't know if any USF players have tested positive or anyone in the traveling party, but at this point they're taking precautions of that. So, you know, the Saturday game against FAU, it's not a conference game, so I don't think it's a huge – you know, impact on the bowl season per se, but you know, you don't like to see it, and you hope that, you know, it's not going to be any problems throughout the team health-wise, most importantly.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but this is the way what they're trying to do here is not easy. And the SEC starts this weekend. We're going to have a chance to talk to Matt Baker about college football. It's fun to talk to Matt about that. Of course, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 expected to come back on or around the end of October, beginning November. And, you know, if you get a couple of those games canceled, you're going to go from, like, maybe playing 8 to, like, 6, you know. But at least we have an attempt to play. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. You just hope everybody stays healthy and you don't have, you know, any serious illnesses and things like this. But tough break for USF, because I know those guys – put a lot in preparations, and it would be hard, you know, as an athlete. I mean, I used to, I'm telling you, I hated rainouts. Like, I was the guy, you know, who would sit there and go, it's not that wet, we can play, you know, like, while they're, you know, it looks like a scene from Bull Durham when they're sloshing, diving into the, you know, into the wet dirt and stuff. But, yeah, it's difficult because you only have so many of these, right, in a season.
I think USF would like to get the taste of that 52-0 loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah, they would,
their
as quickly
too.
As possible, yeah.
I mean, you know, I think they'd like to go out and play this week and you know.
Yeah.
You know, and look, Notre Dame's a really good team. You weren't expecting to go up there and win, but, you know,
when you see
the scoreboard's 52-0, you want to get out and play again, you know. I mean, that's
what
we always say in baseball is, you know, you get beat 10-0 one night, well, you get to go out tomorrow and you know, do something different. And you know, that's part of the beauty, and now USF's going to have to wait at least another week till they get back on the field.
And no Willie Taggart and Jim Leavitt, two USF coaches on that staff that would have been coming back here, which would have been
– Oh, the game was in Boca, so it was not going to
be here. Oh, it was in Boca?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was going to be in Boca this Saturday.
Well, hopefully they don't have any cases and they stay healthy over there. That's the main thing for sure, but disappointing nonetheless. So we'll have Matt Baker – on the program tomorrow, I guess.
Yep.
And then we'll get you ready for what will be game 4, which will be on, let's see.
Friday night, yep. And game 5 Saturday.
Game 5 Saturday. So this thing could be wrapped up if they can take control of the series with another win. Yep.
The Rays are going to try to clinch first place this weekend. They're off today, but they have the Phillies in town for over the weekend and try to clinch first top seed in the AL.
Now, do we know who they would play if they are the top seed in the AL?
Right now, it's the Blue Jays.
Okay.
I'm going to double check the standings, but they haven't clinched the 8 seed yet.
Right.
The Angels are they're quite a ways back. They're 3 or 4 games back with, 5 to play or something.
Yeah.
So the Angels are almost eliminated, and the Mariners are almost eliminated. So it's almost definitely going to be the Blue Jays, as the Blue Jays are 3 games behind the Indians for the first wild card. So it's most likely would be the Blue Jays.
Let me tell you, the Blue Jays are very comfortable playing at Tropicana Field, man. they got a bunch of guys that just rake when they come in here, including one.
But I don't know if I'd want to face the Indians pitching staff. And
no, that's true.
You know, the Twins have now passed the White Sox in that division, I think, by a half game. As far as, so the Twins are now the 3 seed. The White Sox would get the Yankees right now, the first seed.
I tell you what, White Sox are a tough out. They're a really good team.
That would be a great first round matchup, the White Sox and Yankees.
Yeah, it would.
The winner of that would then go on to face the Rays Blue Jays if the playoffs started today. So,
right, right. Well, it won't be easy no matter what who they draw, but but you know, quite an accomplishment. Another banner that they can hang in Tropicana that you hope that one day people will be able to go and actually see. that'll be a good moment for them. But big moment for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That was a great call by Dave Mishkin, and I'm sure we're going to hear that one for the next 25 years.
Oh, and Espo's reaction is what just adds to that call. It just makes it
really does.
It makes it perfect.
It really does. And talk about a guy with perspective, right, in big moments. He's had a few in his career, so for him to be moved by that, it tells you what it meant. Anyway, we appreciate you guys listening to us. We're here every Monday through Friday. I'll be back at One Buck Place. We'll have a chance to talk to Tom Brady today, later this afternoon. Yeah, TB12 himself. hopefully he's, you know, feeling good about the victory. I saw his little post on Instagram. He was a little more upbeat. Happy that he's upbeat about it. Finally got their first win. Going to go to Denver now. Very beaten up Broncos team. We'll have a chance to talk as well with Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles, their two coordinators. So lots on tap here for you. Check us out. Again, we're here every Monday through Friday. For Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.